Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke 17. In verse 11, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, as he," and this is talking about Jesus, of course, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Here we have a story, a true story. He had 10 people who had a need from God. They had leprosy. Leprosy was not only fatal, but leprosy was also, you became an outcast. You were not really allowed to mix with society, and this was according to the law, because leprosy is contagious. And these people had no hope. Lepers didn't just miraculously get healed unless God miraculously healed them. There were no drugs, of course. There was no method of dealing with this that was of any significance in those days. They came to Jesus because they had a need. Their need was for God really to restore their lives. Leprosy took away from them their lives. It's a cruel disease. It destroys your nerve endings. That's how it starts. I remember a story of a leper, I guess it was probably about 50 or 60 years ago now. This person didn't know he had leprosy. He was poor. He lived in India. He lived on a mat. He had a sleeping mat. And he didn't know he had leprosy, which is apparently very common, that at first people don't know they had leprosy. But one of the ways that the lepers discover they have leprosy is because in the night, the rats eat away their fingers. They don't know it because they have no functioning nerve endings in, let's say, their hands. And they discover that they have leprosy. This is why some of these types of people with this condition, they are missing things like fingers, especially if they live in a place like that, because the animals will eat them. They smell the rotting flesh and they eat it away. This is a terrible condition these people were living in. Leprosy. It was perhaps worse than cancer today, because at least in most cases, people who have cancer today, even though many die, many live. Many people, the doctors are able to help them and they recover. Here, this was a day when people didn't recover from anything unless God healed them. And so they came unto Jesus and they cried and they lifted up their voices. They were not subtle about it because they were desperate. They didn't come and say, "Jesus, excuse me." They were screaming, "God, help us." And he said to them, "Show yourself to the priests." And it came to pass as they went that they were cleansed. As this story progresses, these lepers basically act at the same time. The word "go" there, "go show yourself to the priest," is in the plural. It means all of you, go now, go show yourself to the priest. And as they were on their way, God healed them. So they all had a measure of faith. They all had the faith to respond to Jesus, to actually go when he said go, without the healing. He said, "Show yourself to the priest." The priests were the ones who would proclaim you to be clean, so that you could enter back into society, so you would no longer be an outcast. So they were on their way with their leprosy to go to show themselves to the priest to be declared clean, and they became clean on the way. Now here's the thing. Only one of them came back. He was a Samaritan. When Jesus calls him a stranger, it means this foreigner, this citizen of a foreign land, one from a foreign land. This Samaritan, who he considered a foreigner, not one of the sheep that he came for, not one of those tribes of Israel, but a foreigner, came back. And when he came back, he praised God. He fell down at his feet. He gave him thanks. He worshipped. Now the other nine, they were not foreigners. The other nine were Israelis. They didn't come back. But the stranger came back. Now presumably the other nine went, and I actually saw some commentators who believed that this was the case as I was studying this. The other nine went, and they didn't come back because they were concerned with the command. Well, he said, go show ourselves to the priest. What they were not concerned with was the commander. They were just concerned with the command. And so they got this miraculous healing where God restored to them their lives. After they were outcasts, after probably more than likely some of them were missing body parts because of their disease. And they came and they were completely restored in their health. Their leprosy disappeared, and one comes back. And they're probably thinking to themselves, well, this was what we were supposed to do. This was what the law said. The rules were, the one who gave this gave the rules. You go back, and you show yourself to the priests. You submit to the law. But one come back, and Jesus was astonished. It took a lot for Jesus to be astonished. But here Jesus was astonished. And he said, were not 10 cleansed? And in the original language it said, were not the 10 cleansed? In other words, were not all of them cleansed? Where's the 9? Where's the cleansed 9 and only this stranger comes back? Now when he came back, it indicated something. See, there's two types of believers. And they were presumably all believers because they all came to Jesus, all called Him Master, all cried out to Him, have mercy on us. All believed that He would be the source of their healing. All had faith enough to respond to what He told them, even though by sight it was kind of an odd thing. You don't go to the priest until you are healed. But there's a heart issue going on here. One of them came back because one of them actually received something. They were all given something, but only one received it. The others consumed it, and the one received it. Because he had received it and didn't just consume it, then Jesus said unto him, arise, go thy way, in verse 19, and it continues, your faith has made you whole. It didn't say your faith has healed you. It says your faith has made you complete. Yes, you received a healing, but your faith has made you into a complete man, whereby you would go back and you would worship God. And you would glorify Him, and you would thank Him, and you would come back to Him, and you would proclaim that God healed you, and you would become a testimony, and you would witness, and you would follow the Lord. The other nine consumed. The other nine had the same need, but they had a different heart. And probably they had a different heart because they were very oriented to the law, hence the reason why it was so easy for them to listen to the command. And Israel was oriented to the law at those times. And they were just following the law. But the law was not the lawgiver. The stranger was concerned with the lawgiver. The one who received was concerned with the lawgiver. The one who consumed was concerned with the law. We can be like this also. Today, there's two types of Christians in this regard. There are those who receive, and then there are those who consume. In Matthew 20 and verse 30, the Word of God says that two men were sitting by the wayside, and they heard Jesus pass by, and they cried to Him, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David." And in verse 34, the Word of God continues there, Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and they followed Him. You see, this is the fruit of receiving versus the fruit of consuming. When I'm a consumer, there's something that I want. And maybe I'm a receiver and there's something that I want. In both examples, there were people who wanted something from God. But in the one example, you had a majority who wanted and consumed only. The others received and followed. See, there's the difference. If I'm a consumer, I'll desire something from God and I will consume it. I will take it. I will get its benefit. I will utilize it. God is kind. He said, whoever asks will receive in Matthew 7:8. God is kind. He'll give. Because He is kind. He's gracious and He gives. He's merciful and He gives. He's got abundance of loving kindness and He gives it. The question though is, what do I do? Am I a consumer or am I a receiver? If I am a consumer, then I will take what He gives and I will consume it on myself. I will take my healing and I'll go. I won't return and I won't worship God. And I won't say, "Thank You, Lord." And I won't say, "God, You are the Lord of my life." And I won't follow Him. I will just take it and I will go. And I will still do my own thing like nothing ever happened. There are people who are on death's doorstep and God healed them and they were glad to be healed, but then they continued like nothing ever happened. They didn't live for God. They didn't follow Him. They lived an arbitrary worldly life just like everybody who's unsaved. And these may be even Christians because they consumed the healing. Like these lepers, they consumed the healing. God is gracious toward me. I have perhaps a fear, or I have a prayer, and God comforts me, or He answers me. Have you ever had a situation where you prayed something and God granted you what you prayed for? Many believers have such experiences many times in their lives. What do you do with it? Do you receive or do you consume? If I pray and I get an answer, if I'm a consumer, I will forget that the prayer was given to me. I will forget that there even was a prayer. I will say, "Oh, I'm so glad to have what I wanted," and then I will go about and I won't peep about it. I won't worship God for it. I'll just take what He gives and that's the end of the story. I love it when I hear people who get, for example, healings or remarkable answers from God to prayer, and they start talking, "God did this for me. Let me tell you, God did this for me. I had cancer and I'm completely healed. And the doctor said I was going to die. And when they went in for a surgery, the tumor was gone. God did this for me." Or they had a prayer, "I had an impossible situation and God resolved it and God did this for me. And He answered me and I was hopeless and I was helpless and He answered me and God resolved it for me. And I had a prayer. I had need. I had no money and I prayed and God gave me groceries." I love hearing stories like that. They're so edifying. But they're more than edifying. They're also reflective of the heart of the person for whom it was done. They were receivers. A consumer, "I have no money, God. Can You please give me something?" And somebody brings them several bags of groceries and they never even told anybody. And not a word. "Oh, I'm glad I have my groceries. I'm glad I have something to eat this week." And maybe I know of a person who that happened to. That person's not even living with God anymore. You know what he's doing? He's out in the theatrical world doing really weird productions in some worldly theater company. It's like a really kind of weird, bizarre stuff. Consumer. I don't doubt his salvation, and I know what God did for him was real. But consumer. Why consumer? How do you walk away from God like that? If I'm a receiver and that happens to me, I can't keep my mouth shut. If I'm a receiver and that happens to me, I've seen the hand of the Lord. Man, you're not going to move my feet. I've seen the hand of the Lord. I've seen the answers of God. I'm not going to ever dream of not being faithful to God. I'm not ever going to dream of leaving the call of God. I'm not ever going to dream of leaving the will of God, because I have seen the hand of the Lord. I've seen Him move. I've seen Him answer. I've heard Him speak. And I'm a receiver. And I go back and I worship Him. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Worship you, God. I will follow you because you gave to me. You see, there's the difference between consumers and receivers. God will answer both of them because He loves them. God will be kind to both of them because He loves them. Gracious to them because He loves them. But He won't be blessed by both of them. He'll only be blessed by one of them. Jesus said, any man who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. That means they're not fit for the kingdom of God. They're not fit for having the reign of God in their lives, and therefore they don't have the reign of God in their lives. But it's like that. God, would you do something for me? God, would you heal my kid? My kid is ill, God. Would you heal my kid? And the body prays, God, heal this child. And the child is healed. Not a peep. Was there a reigning doctrine in their heart? Was the Holy Spirit on the throne glorifying God in their heart? Even though He was merciful to them. He didn't regret it. He just had no pleasure in it. But in Revelation 4:11, we're created for that pleasure, to give pleasure to God. Receivers give pleasure to God. Because God is glorified in them. God healed the one man, and He said to them, don't you tell anybody what I did. And the man couldn't keep his mouth shut. He said, this man healed my sight. I can't keep my mouth shut. God came to the woman at the well. She was a receiver. And He gave her forgiveness. And He saved her and He restored her. She was a receiver. He said, come, let me tell you about the man who told me about everything that I had ever done. She started talking about Jesus. It's not even the doctrinal way to do it. She didn't care if it was doctrinal. She said, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. But I don't think she exposed her sins. Come, let me tell you what about this man told me everything I had ever known. His name is Jesus, and He's a great prophet. And He is a Savior, and He knows what He's talking about. He came and He delivered me. And then there's the person who says, oh, okay, God, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's great. Okay, God. You know what it's like? Maybe you've seen this if you've been around teenagers. Hey, you know what? I'm going to do something for you. You say to them, I'm going to bless you. And it's, okay. You ever get that response from a teenager? Okay. It's kind of like that, isn't it? Have you ever heard that? I've heard that a few times from teenagers, but then I work with them. Okay. Hey, you know what? I'm going to bump your grade up to an A. Yeah, you got a B plus, but you know, kid, you really tried hard. I'm going to bump your grade up to an A. Okay. Consumer, not receiver. Sometimes you get a kid, it's kid, you got a B plus, but you worked so hard, I'm going to bump your grade up to, oh, thank you so much. Receiver. Very practical terms. We want to be receivers. We don't want to be consumers. In Matthew 13, verse 22, the person who had received seed among thorns, this is obviously the parable of the sower, is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, it's interesting the way it's worded there. Notice that it said he becomes unfruitful. That means for a while he was fruitful. For a while he had something going on. And the consumer may actually have something for a while going on with God, because this is a picture of a type of consumer. They receive it, they take it, they accept it, they even use it for a while. But then something more interesting comes along. Something a little flashier comes along. And you know, you don't think about cares of this world being flashy, but you know, that's a type of cares of this world. Worldliness is a type of care of this world. Deceitfulness of riches, better opportunity, better show in town comes along. And they leave that. I always find it interesting in a large church in particular, like when people come and when they don't come to church. And I understand sometimes it's not possible, and this isn't a legalistic thing. Certainly, you know, as people can, they do. But it's on a habitual basis. Like, do you come to church if you got something better going on, or do you actually just stay home and go for your whatever better is going on? Are you the kind of believer, if you got a better offer Sunday morning, a better, more exciting event, you'll go to that instead of church, and you do that like every second or third week? Hey, I got something better going on this Sunday morning. I'm not going to be there, but I'll see you next week when I don't have anything better going on. You know what? As a consumer, we don't want to be consumers. But then also the person says, yeah, I don't feel good today, but I'm here anyway, because I don't want to miss the Word of God. Yeah, I'm tired, I'm busy today, and I'm not feeling great, but you know, I'm here anyway. Yeah, I've got 10 million things to do today, but I'm here anyway, because I'm not going to miss the Word of God. These faithful people, in our church we have a lot of faithful people. They show up, they don't feel good, they're busy, they're tired. And they show up and they are there and they're faithful. You know why? Receivers, not consumers. We want to be the receivers. And it continues in verse 23, but he that receiveth the seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. It's not the magnitude, it's not the number of fruit, it's the fact there is fruit. That's the good ground. That's the receiver. The receiver is the one who has the good ground. They receive, and they become fruitful. In Hebrews 4:2, we're told that if I do not mix the faith with the word that I hear, it will not profit me. But on the other hand, by the law of contrast, if I do mix faith with the word that I hear, it does profit me. How do I become a receiver? The person who receives, receives in faith. The person who consumes, receives but not in faith. In other words, both receive. Both get something. Both types of lepers got healed. And it took a measure of faith to heal them. But they didn't continue to mix faith. They didn't take it to the next step. They never let it cause them to grow. They never went from faith to faith. They just stay there. Oh, I got my healing. But one came back. And that one is the one that we hear about now, 2,000 years after it was written. That's the one we are hearing about now. There is one who came back, and he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even of the tribe of Israel, but he's the one, and God was blessed by him. And he said, this stranger came back and he worships me and he thanks me and he follows me. And he's not even an Israelite, but he came back and he got his healing. And I'll tell you what, his faith made him a complete person, a complete Christian. His faith gave him a complete life, because his faith caused him to become a receiver and not just a consumer. I'm not saying that the consumer had no faith. They had, most certainly did have some faith, but it didn't go from faith to faith. It simply stayed where it was. They didn't mix faith. You know why? Humility. Humility is what I need to mix faith with what I hear. Humility is what I need so that I can learn how to forgive people. Humility is what I need so I know how to be restored. Humility is what I need so I can grow. Humility is what I need so I can mature as a believer or even as a human being. I need humility. That's one of the problems you see, especially in the world today, where these people, these 45, 55 year olds are stuck in adolescent egocentrism, as the child development types call it. But you know what it means? It's a very fancy, very pleasant way to say they've got juvenile self-centeredness. You have 55 year olds today with juvenile self-centeredness. I know some. They never grew up. It's actually a developmental stage. But you're supposed to get out of there about when you're 16 years old, thereabouts. That's why they call it Sweet 16. Because the teenage girl who was a real pain, who was a real sassy, who had mouth on her, who didn't have regard, it's around 16 years old, she starts growing out of that. Sweet 16. But you know what? This is what I need. I need humility in order to be able to get there. Without humility, I don't go from faith to faith. Without humility, I don't grow. And by the way, if I'm growing, then I'm right with God. I'm not right with God because I need no growth. If I get to the point where I need no growth, I'm at home in heaven with God. So never be condemned by the fact that you need to grow. I need to grow. Everybody needs to. Billy Graham needs to grow. Every one of us needs to grow. Humility is what allows it. A lack of humility is what prevents it. In Luke 15, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. He had two types of brothers there. Both of them were consumers. He had the one brother who said, Dad, give me my share. I'm going out into the world. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's amazing the father actually gave him that. He let him go. And the kid consumed everything that he had, a crazy lifestyle and riotous living. He spent everything and everybody left him. And as a Jewish boy, he's feeding the swine. That's the lowest place you could get. But then there was the brother. He never left. He worked in the field every day. But when that prodigal son came home, in verse 29, the brother started to complain. He said, I was with you all this time and I never got that. And this kid goes off, spends half your living, and you look at what you give him, a fatted calf and a robe, and you do all these great things for him, big old party. I never got that. It's another consumer. The difference was, the one consumer had a change of heart and became a receiver. The other consumer lived in his self-righteousness through the application of the law, but never got to know the heart of his father. Why didn't he get to know the heart of his father? Because he was a consumer. In other words, God had given him something and he simply consumed it on himself, but it never transformed his heart. He never said, God, thank you. He was never broken by the gift of God. Receivers are characterized by this. They become humble. And they're broken. They're not worried about their laws. They're not religious. They're not legalistic. They're broken before God. And they're not broken by the negatives, they're broken by the positives. God was so kind to me and He gave me so much. I'm not worthy of it, and He gave me so much. By the way, never lament God revealing to you or allowing you to get an understanding of the fact that you are an imperfect, unworthy human being, nothing more than a dust ball. Don't be discouraged, don't be upset, don't be sad when God gives you this revelation that you are nothing more than dust, that there is nothing good living in you, that there is nothing in you at all, that it's wounds, bruises, putrefying sores, that there is sick head, faint heart, nothing good in you. Some people are very upset by that revelation. I tell you something, every one of us desperately need that revelation to set us free. And then to break us. Hey, I'm unworthy, and God gave me. I'm unworthy, and God gave me love. I'm unworthy, and God gave me grace. I'm unworthy, and God gave me kindness. I'm unworthy, and God gave me food, and a bed, and a house, and a friend, and somebody to care for me. But, you know, I don't deserve those things. That's right. When you get to that point, you're learning grace. So don't lament ever. Don't lament learning that you're unworthy. That is a wonderful place to be. It may be a rude awakening to some, but in the end, it'll be an immense blessing. The older son didn't know that he had become a consumer, and never allowed that fact to be revealed to him because of his own pride. I'm doing something. I'm doing what I'm in the box. I'm drawing within the lines. God, I'm living within the lines. That makes me worthy, right? I should get a fatted calf and a robe and a ring and a party. I'm living within the lines. But you don't know something, son. And apparently you have never known that all that I have is yours. But you never got to enjoy it because you were never a receiver. A receiver, because he is broken by God, gets to enjoy all that God has. Gets to enjoy all that I have is yours. The receiver is the one who learns how to trust God in the difficult circumstances because he knows that all that God has is his. That God will never leave him or forsake him even though he's not worthy, because he knows it's only about grace and it was never about his performance or his ability or his production or how well he was doing. It was always about grace. The consumer will resent that. The consumer will say, I should be doing well enough and I have to be this way and I should, you know, and they'll be frustrated when God says to them, you know what, you're not all that perfect, so that He can work grace in their lives. You know what the most important thing is that I need? And I got news for you, is the most important thing that you need? Grace. I need grace. But how am I going to receive grace? By allowing God to reveal to me my own condition so that I can receive it. God, I just need your grace. The person who still thinks, oh, I should be doing better, oh, I should have it together, or I should, whatever, I should, you know, be a better human being. You know what? You can't do it, not in a million years. If you had a million year lifetime, you still wouldn't be a perfect human being. And you still wouldn't get it right. And you'd still be corrupt. And you'd still make mistakes. Because it's God who transforms. You can't do anything. What do? When I find out that I'm lacking? I draw near. I humble myself and I draw near. Some people want to run away. I draw near. It's not so comfortable being near. I make mistakes when I'm near. Just get near. Thomas Jefferson said, the person who makes no mistakes is the person who does nothing. You make mistakes because God put you into a situation where He can trust you and you're not necessarily accustomed to that situation, but the situation was brought in your direction so that you would grow. Stay in it. Don't run out of it because it's challenging. Stay in it. Because God brought that for your particular benefit. And the fact that you realize that you need grace is a big step forward. It's not a step backward. And when you realize that, you become broken and you finally start to receive. You become receivers that way. You see, they had leprosy, but it didn't break them except for the one. Because they didn't realize it was about grace. It was not about their performance in the law. It was about grace. And the one was broken and he received grace. Not only for his healing, that was the kindness of God, but for his transformation as he came back and worshipped him. This is where God wants us to be. Psalm 23:26, my son, give me your heart. My son, give me your heart. How am I going to be able to give God my heart? I need to become humbled, and I need to become broken, and I need to receive grace, because I am a receiver, and then I will be able to give God my heart. You ask God, and God gives you. But here's the thing about when God does things. He does things to make us receivers. That's the whole point. He does things to make us receivers. In Hebrews 10:36, for you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You pray and God says, wait. God gives you a call and He says, you're going to do this, but wait. Why? So that you would become a receiver and not a consumer. That's why. So that you would receive a blessing and not simply consume the blessing. So that you would be transformed by it. In Matthew 10:8, he says, freely you have received, freely give. You know what? Receivers manifest the fruit of what they have received. Consumers take, they accept, but they manifest no fruit. How does that show up? They receive mercy, but they don't give mercy. They receive grace, but they don't give grace. They receive forgiveness, but they don't give forgiveness. They receive kindness, but they don't give kindness. They receive gentleness, and they don't give gentleness. They receive goodness, and they don't give goodness. These are consumers. The receiver can't help but to give. Because if I am a receiver, I don't just receive one thing. You see, I'll bet you anything that that one leper, that Samaritan, came back and developed a life with God, and those nine went off and they stayed dead in their religion, even though perhaps they were saved, perhaps not, we do not know. They said, Master, so I'm saying they were saved, but they never went anywhere with Jesus. How difficult it is for some people to give what they have received, and they would rather not receive it than to give it. Some people. Have you ever met anyone like that? You know why? They are consumers. Because they are not broken. Because God had implemented a plan in their life to break them through kindness and through challenge. But they never humbled themselves to the point of being broken, and a person doesn't humble themselves because they are self-oriented. And so for them to give what they have received is almost disgusting. It's outrageous. It's anathema. And God says, that's exactly what you do. You give what you have received. You receive kindness, the receiver gives kindness. You receive mercy, the receiver gives mercy. You receive forgiveness, the receiver gives forgiveness. All of it. You receive love, the receiver gives love. You receive patience. By the way, patience is never deserved. That's why it's patience. They ever see, well, I deserve patience, this one does not. No, you receive patience, that is the fruit of the Spirit. It is the presence of God, is the fact why people receive patience from another person, because in that person God is present. And you receive it. And when you receive it, it is easy for you to give it, because the receiver receives, in Ephesians 3:20, above and beyond. And so it's easy to give. We must never be consumers. We must never be consumers. We must never be consumers. In Luke 18, in verse 29, the Word of God said, He said unto them, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left his house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive many fold times more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting. Much more. Much more. You see, this is the beauty of it. When I'm a receiver, I become a follower. I don't become a follower of men. I become a follower of God. I live with God's people and I want to be there. I love God's people. I love the unlovely. Because I was unlovely and God loved me. And I received His love. The receiver is the one who becomes a follower of the Savior. Don't tell me that if you can't love, that if you can't be patient, that if you can't be kind, that if you can't be forgiving, if you can't practice the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is the manifestation of the presence of God, that you are following Jesus. You are not. And people will rationalize it and rationalize it and rationalize it and rationalize it, and why they shouldn't have to live in faith response to the Scriptures. I tell you something, a lot of people are burdened and have difficulties in their lives because they don't live in those faith responses. Here's the thing, if I consume, I get very little. Oh, I might have got a healing, but what else? Did I get a life that is super abundant? Did I get above and beyond all that I can ask or think? Did I find that God measured out to me in the same measure that I measure out? The consumer finds that. And you know what? So does the receiver. And the receiver measures out abundantly and gives out abundantly and doesn't consider what he is doing, doesn't consider what he is given, doesn't count the cost. The consumer will, though. Because the consumer thinks it's coming from him. And the receiver knows it's coming from God. The receiver knows that you have nothing. What have you that you have not received? That you have nothing that you have not received. And that God is able to give me an abundance of all. All that I have is yours, the Father says. All that I have is yours. There are people who are generous of spirit and they are generous in their practices and they have plenty. This is what the Bible says. There are people who are not generous, who hold to themselves and they have lack. The one who has plenty is not that way because he held back. The one who has plenty of grace doesn't have it because he withholds grace. The one who has plenty of mercy doesn't have it because he withholds mercy. The one who has plenty of forgiveness doesn't have it because he withholds forgiveness. It's like that with everything with God. I pour out what I received. As long as I can pour out, I can keep receiving. The minute I stop pouring out is the minute I stop receiving and I become a consumer. No fun being a consumer. It's much more pleasant, much easier, much more rewarding life being a receiver than a consumer. The life becomes changed, purified. when God's presence flows through us rather than just on us. This is why he that wins souls is wise in Proverbs 11:30, because the gospel is flowing through him, not just on him. He is a receiver of the gospel and not a consumer of it. In Romans 5:17, in the B part, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. They do. They reign in life. These are receivers. They receive the gift of grace, and they receive it in abundance. And it's a gift of righteousness. And they become those who reign. Reign over the emotions. Reign over the temperament. Reign over our natural disposition. He that controls his own spirit is greater than he that controls a city. Really, it's a country, a city-state. More powerful than a king. How do I get there? I become a receiver, not a consumer. God has this for us. God desires to give us a certain quality of life. However, that quality of life will only come under certain types of circumstances. Really, it's certain types of faith responses in me. Those are the circumstances. An abundance of life with God is not an unconditional thing. An abundance of life with God is a receiving thing. But if I refuse to pick up a cross, if I refuse to live in the disposition and the character of God, if I refuse to turn away from myself, what did Jesus say? If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. If I refuse to turn away from myself, my self-indulgence of my moods, my emotions, my wants, my attitudes, even my worldly beliefs, and if I refuse to adopt God's way of doing things rather than the world's, and sometimes, so 99% of the time, God's way is better. That 1% of the time, the world's way is better. You know what? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If I refuse that way, then what I have refused is that abundant quality of life that God desires to give me. But that can only be given to one who is a receiver and not to one who is a consumer. If you want the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you can't do it through self-orientation. You can't do it by natural thinking. It comes through the Word of God and the cross. And there I have the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. If you want to love people, you can't love people by looking at yourself and how you feel about things and what your view is of things and how things make you feel. Jesus didn't come to earth and say, look, they make me feel like this. I'm so mad. These Pharisees, the way they did. Oh, I'm not coming back for these vermin anymore. Forget it. I'm going back to heaven. My goodness. Don't you recognize the quality of life that is lost through self-orientation? And the quality of life that can be had through God orientation? Receiving from God and not consuming on yourself? God so desires to give us that quality of life. But only the receiver can possess it. The consumer can't. Not that God wouldn't be willing to give it to him, but he's not willing to take it. Because he's always worried about self first. Like what Pastor Stephen says, others, others first. Others first. others first. You do the right thing. Always do the right thing and always put others first. Why? Because that's what the Savior did. And what was the result of that? The cross? Yeah, your salvation. But more than that, the result of that is that I and the Savior are seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, and He got a bride because He was not self-oriented. And what did I get? I got to become one. And I can have that experience now by not being self-oriented but being God-oriented and becoming a receiver of what God gives and not a consumer. Amen?